Hi, I'm Chris Bedford, Dorothy Wagner Wallace Director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, and welcome to Art Matters, a monthly feature where we provide insights into the work of some of today's most creative artists from Baltimore and beyond. Joining me today are New Orleans-based artists Keith Calhoun and Chandra McCormick, a husband and wife team who have been documenting Louisiana and its people for more than 30 years. And if you can't tell, I'm smiling. It's very nice to have you in Baltimore.
Thank you.
We're honored to be here.
The photographs that you've made of men incarcerated in Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola are enormously, enormously powerful, as is the totality of the show, and we're unbelievably proud of it. So could you just begin by telling us a little bit about how that project began? What drew you to document those incarcerated men?
In the 1980s, Keith and I both began documenting what we call the River Road, photographing all of those people in the soil who were working in the fields. That thing kind of brought us to Angola because they work in the fields there. And we saw that the work of just everyday people on plantations throughout Louisiana was really no different than what they're doing in Angola still today. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing in Angola is not right.
Before we get on to what's obviously not right about Angola, I'm going to ask the most obvious question, which is, how did you gain access to Angola to begin this documentary project, which now spans decades?
We had to write to the officials and ask permission to have access to come into the prison to photograph. And we had a relationship with one of the wardens who we were told that's who we had to communicate with. And she let us come. We went several times. And then we're friends with Aaron Neville and the Neville brothers. And so they would do free concerts for the guys in prison every so often. And Aaron had a relationship with the warden also. So we would sometimes go up there before they arrived to photograph, and then we photographed the concerts that they did for the guys that were incarcerated.
And also we had friends in Angola that we knew that were working in the prison. Wilbur Rito, who's the editor of the Angolite, Norris Henderson, and guys like Gary Tyler. Those guys were very active in the prison, so we were able to collaborate with them and get ideas what to photograph and how to, you know, communicate with some of the best spaces to photograph in the prison.
So I wanted to revert back to this idea of the critical lens, because clearly while you are documentary photographers, there is a very sharp critical bent to what you're doing. This isn't passive commentary. You are saying that many things are deeply wrong with the prison system in this country, and that Angola in particular is an epicenter of those injustices. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the relationship between documentary photography and being critical of that system on one hand, and then what you see as the gravest injustices going on there still today.
It's the wages that the inmate makes in Angola. I think they make like 20 cents an hour. And I think that forces inmates to prey on other inmates because you're not making anything to sustain yourself in the prison. And after so long incarcerated, you lose contact with the outside world. So it sort of creates a predatory environment. And when we first started photographing Angola, it was the bloodiest prison in America. It was like stabbings and it was full of rape. So to see men every day, you see over 100 men lined up to walk the fields, and you still have a gun line of men going out in the fields at daybreak. Now we know once you come out of Angola, you don't get no Social Security. You're just back in the free world with nothing.
Which then just feeds the pipeline again.
And then to gain employment, they have to check the box which says, are you a felon? And most of the time, that's a strike against them.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned on a couple of occasions throughout the course of this interview already, and I just want to be explicit about it. Plantation, the idea of men lining up to work in fields and being paid 20 cents an hour when the minimum wage in this country, the idea is to take that up to $15 an hour, and yet these people are being paid 20 cents an hour to do backbreaking labor,
right,
in searing heat, mm-hmm, for I don't know how many hours a day.
At least eight to ten hours. I thought it was about 10.
So I would just love to hear your analysis of that and any kind of efforts at reform that might be going on that you've seen within Angola and how your photographs participate in that necessity.
Well, I see things now with the new warden there. He's making a lot of changes, seem to be. There's more humanity there. Guys like Norris Henderson, who continues to work with the prison to try to change certain conditions. But at the same time, you still have, like in the dormitories, you know, you might have 200 men and only 5 or 6 showers. So imagine every morning you got 200 men got to get up and shower, and you only got 5 or 6 showers.
I think a lot of people aren't being able to have access to it because they have to be on the line to work at a certain time, too. And if they're not there, that means they're not present. So then that means that they go to the dungeon.
They get a write-up.
They get written up.
It's called work call. If you don't report to your post at a certain time and your name call, well, automatically you will be sent to what you call lockdown. Mm-hmm. To me, in that situation, if you have 200 men, only have 6 showers.
It's Malcolm said 4, Henry said 5.
Yeah, shower stalls. So imagine what that's like in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So it's a system that sets up the inevitability of punishment.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
One of the most powerful and poignant things about your work broadly in this exhibition specifically is your focus on individuals that you use to tell broader stories of incarceration. And the major figure within this exhibition is Gary Tyler. So could you talk a little bit about him for me, please?
Well, Gary Tyler at 16 was accused of murdering Timothy Weber, who was a young white kid who lived in the community of St. Charles Parish. And he was riding his bike. Busing had started with the school system. And Gary and black kids were being bused from Destrehan to St. Charles. And the school was integrated. And so they had problems. But it was said that Gary shot the kid, but actually someone was shooting at the kids on the bus, and they hit the child on the bicycle. So I remember that so clearly because Gary is 1 year older than me. And at 17, when he was convicted, I couldn't believe that a child, because I still felt that I was a young child being incarcerated with men. So,
and this is what year?
1972 or something like that.
And Gary was incarcerated for how long?
42 years. Mm-hmm. 42 years.
And was eventually exonerated?
He was, yes, he was.
He, after 42 years, is released. He was incarcerated as an adult when he was 17 years old in Angola State Penitentiary.
Yeah, yes. He was sentenced to death row.
Yes.
He had a death sentence. The guys who they put him around protected him because they couldn't believe that the state of Louisiana would send a boy among all these men. So it was guys like the Angola 3 who protected Gary to make sure nothing would happen. But while Gary was incarcerated, he was a model prison, meaning that Gary worked in a theater, he worked on the print shop, worked on the Angolite newspaper. And the only person I ever seen that can leave Angola without a gun guard to bring other inmates out to schools to do theater and the arts. So, you know, he was a hero of ours.
So, just to conclude, can you tell us where Gary is now, having been released? What is he up to?
Gary's now living in California, and he's working with youth.
He's teaching theater to the homeless.
Yeah, there's an outreach program that he's working with, and they get at-risk youth, and he works with them in theater and mentorship.
And he's an artist.
He's an artist. Oh yeah, he does calligraphy.
Quilting.
He quilts. We've been trying to coax him to do quilts, to do some shows, you know, but his goal right now is reaching out to young people, which I think is really important as well.
So having talked about Gary Tyler, can you talk also about the relationship of Norris Henderson, who's a major figure within the exhibition, to Gary?
He has established an organization called VOTE. It's Voice of the Experience. And he works on a lot of policy change. But most recently, there was a Jim Crow law in Louisiana where, you know, a unanimous jury is 12. But in Louisiana, they could pass a verdict with 10, a vote of 10. So Norris, the work that he was doing, got rid of that unanimous decision. And there's another brother that had did the same thing in Florida. So that's a big victory. The other thing that I like to say about Norris is that he's really a beautiful spirit and a humble person, and he gives so much of himself. He's amazing.
So you guys have worked together for a long, long time, making documentary photographs, of course, but then also working on L9, which is your not-for-profit art center in the Lower Ninth Ward. So could you speak a little bit about the founding of L9, what you do, and how that relates to your work as photographers?
Well, L9 was founded in 2007. Our goals were to serve our community in South and Gulf Coast because of Hurricane Katrina. And us being artists, we created a gallery space and also a community space that we work with kids, we do shows. We've had community talks there. We just open up the space for different things. It can be converted. Now, we've been busy with this show and some other things, but when we go back, we're hoping to do a 2-week summer camp with children.
Wonderful. Yeah. So I want to thank you guys for joining us today. It was a great pleasure, as ever, to chat with you, Keith and Chandra. So thanks from Baltimore.
Thank you.
You can see Keith Calhoun and Chandra McCormick's photographs and videos on view at the BMA through October 27th. Thank you for listening today. Art Matters is produced for WYPR by the Baltimore Museum of Art. And for the Baltimore Museum of Art, I'm Chris Bedford.